Father, we want to thank you today for another opportunity to break open the word, the bread of life, and thank you for the opportunity that we have that we can feed on that word, that we can be nourished by that word, built up by that word, that we can find direction for our lives as we look into the precious law of liberty. As we do, we see a reflection not of ourselves, but of the Lord Jesus Christ looking back at us. And in seeing that, we are changed, we are transformed. As our minds are renewed, and as we get the vision of the message in the promises of God, we can go forth with renewed, happy, blessed attitude, knowing that you are with us, knowing who we are in you, Lord Jesus, knowing that, God, you are our Father and that you have us in the forefront of your thought always, because we are the apple of your eye and you have us on your mind. We thank you for that today. In the precious name of Jesus, and everybody said amen. Amen. Well, let's go to Acts chapter 19. Time to get to work. Amen. Hallelujah. We've been looking at Paul's travels as it is chronicled in the book of Acts. And in seeing this and many other things, we find out that the Holy Spirit is guiding him in his travels and giving him what he needs as he is confronted by unbelief, threats on his life, and as he's given the opportunity to minister the word of God to those that God has placed before him. In all of this, what we're learning is that God goes before us, that God prepares our way, he orders our steps. We're learning that he handpicks people for us to minister to, and he prepares us with the word that we need to give them. Now, one of the things I love about how the Lord operates is that he's in touch with our born-again regenerate spirit, because we're having to learn to listen with our spirit. We don't always recognize what he's downloading on the inside of us and for what purpose he's doing it. We don't always see that because we're having to learn to listen with our spirit. See, we're so accustomed to listening out of our natural souls and our hearts and our minds, as we've all done all of our lives in natural things. And sometimes we try to listen to the Lord the same way, but he's not heard that way, because he doesn't speak through our natural ears or to our souls. He speaks to our spirit. We can learn to discern, which is to listen to the spirit. We can learn to discern his word to us, but it takes practice. It takes deliberate practice. It takes getting quiet when everything around you is busy. It takes getting quiet when you're busy. You say, how can I do that? Well, by the Spirit. The Holy Ghost teaches us how to listen by the Spirit, so that in the midst of whatever may be going on, turmoil, tragedy, just a lot of busyness around us, things to distract us, we can still hear what the Spirit is saying. We can still hear him. But we have to remove ourselves from that natural way of doing things. Amen. Amen. And that's where the work comes in. I still believe, and I think I'll always preach this, as far as growth goes. You know, how many of you have made decisions about your growth in the Lord? You've made decisions about it. All right, that's unanimous primarily. And in deciding that you are going to give yourself to the things of God, and you're going to comply with what God is giving you, you know, we may not always think in terms of obedience, because sometimes we put obedience in a place where obedience has to do with some big thing that we have to do. There may be a question mark on the term. having to do with something that we don't know about, maybe God has for me to do. I want to be ready. I want to be willing, Lord. Help me. And I'm going to be obedient to you no matter what it is. We like to put it on the big things. But there are small things. There are little things, little foxes that spoil the vine. And so there's adjustments in our lives that God will lead us to make that will lead to growth. That will lead to growth. There are just things. And one of the biggest things, and we talk about this a lot around here because it's important, and that is your speech. And I've said it this way, the way the Lord showed it to me, without just trying to quote somebody else, because lots of folk are talking about our words, and that's good, and it should be talked about. But one of the ways that the Lord showed me that I can guard my speech is to pay attention to what I think. Pay attention to the thoughts that go through your mind. Because you don't say anything without having a thought first. You know, there's a process to speech. You know, even when a person is angry and out of their mouth comes something that they regret and they go to apologize to the person, one of the things that they like to say is, well, I didn't mean that. Well, yes, you did. Yes, you did. It was in you. You may regret that you said it, and you might recognize that it was wrong, but you did mean it because it was in you, and it was brought to your speech because you allowed it to be in your soul. Now, you could have done something about it, but you didn't. And that's why it came out of your mouth. Amen. Am I telling you the truth? You have to do something about what you think. See, if we allow the thoughts to take root, then they are the you might say the garden plot for the words that will be generated out of those thoughts to come out of your mouth. Amen? Now, you know, just knowing that process, I'm not saying that to you to get you to feeling remorseful this morning. I'm saying that to you to show you how that thinking the right thoughts can also be planted in your soul, and then you bring out the right words. You'll speak the right words. You got to know the process. Good and evil comes out of the same process. Right? Constructive words can come out of the process, but destructive and non-producing words can come out of the same process. So we have to know how this works. So the Lord showed me, pay attention to what you think. Because you can do something about everything that you think. Everything. You can do something about every thought. You can accept it or you can reject it. And one of the best ways to reject something that is a thought that is contrary to what God wants to do in your life, which will, you know, get into your words, is to think the right thought about the bad thought. You got me? Right? You know, you've heard of replacement theology, where a lot of people try to put the church in the place of Israel, right? This is replacement theology for the mind. Not replaced in Jesus, right? But displacing the wrong thought with the right thought. You see that? All right? So, you've made decisions about your growth. You've said certain things in your own heart and spirit to the Lord about your own growth. But then, in your thought life, you're going to recognize certain things that will help you with your growth. And the Lord will speak to you, and He'll help you to see what adjustments you need to make. And again, speech is a big thing. The thought life is a big thing. Speech is a big thing. The thought life is a big thing. Because in our zeal to give ourselves to growth, we still come up with things that we think will work to aid us in our growth. Isn't that right? We say things like, I'm going to do this. And some of those things sound real good. Like, You can't pray too much, right? So you say, we're going to pray more. That's a good thing, right? But if you make the decision to pray more based on what you're trying to do to help God to help you to grow, where are those prayers going? What are those prayers accomplishing? See? One of the things that's hard for us to accept, me included, is that I can't do anything apart from the Lord. I really can't. Now, we quote that, but we still try to do it. We try to take things in our own hands. Right? Now, subconsciously, we don't realize it, but you know that if you accomplish what you need to accomplish by doing that, you're going to want some of the credit. Yes, you are. You are going to want some of the credit. Right? Remember Hezekiah, when he prayed and God gave him more years to live, one of the statements he made was, Lord, remember what I've done. Right? Now God was merciful and God granted him more, right? But that is a natural inclination on our part, is to get some credit for something that we're doing. We want to feel like that we are doing better. We want that acknowledgement from God that we're doing better. And it makes us feel good. As long as we're like that, we're not really growing as God would intend for us to grow. How many of you know that you can grow some stuff the wrong way? Some stuff can grow the wrong way. Right? In a garden, if you don't prune, if you don't weed, other stuff will grow up with it. And it usually chokes the life out of the plant that is supposed to be there if the work isn't done to do the weeding and all of that kind of stuff. See? And that's what our thought life and our speech can do if we don't, allow the Lord's way in this whole process, if we don't just give him his place in the whole process, right? You're really not going to grow without the help and the aid of the Holy Spirit. You're just not going to do it. You're not going to develop. You're not going to come to fully what God's ordained you to be functioning in without the help and the aid of the Holy Spirit. It just won't happen. It just will not happen. And all I'm doing in this is trying to point out the fact that we have to trust him. We have to throw ourselves over upon him, right? And we have to look to him, right? Because see, now the natural inclination again is to figure things out. We want to be the Sherlock Holmes of our spiritual development. And we want to figure it out and fix it and then go before God and say, look what I've done. And have him pat us on the head and say, oh, you're a good kid. You really did make a pretty little thing out of that. It's just not going to happen that way. It's not going to happen that way. It really doesn't do us any good to be overly anxious about our growth and development. Surely you can't worry about it. That doesn't help. When we get quiet like we should get quiet, God begins to work. See, the Old Testament scripture says, be still and know that I'm God. Be still and know that I'm God. The implication is, you're trying to do it. Would you just settle down? Just settle down. Let me do what I need to do. I will bring you to where you need to be. I'll do it. And this is important, again, because of our thought life. We run so much stuff through our thoughts because we're concerned about us. It really, you could be concerned about you all you want to, but really that's not going to change anything. Because the thing that's keeping you is what Jesus has already done. You may not feel like he's keeping you in some situations, but he is. Yeah. You are kept. Past tense. You are kept, and you shall always be kept. Because of what he's done. I mean, it's finished. You got to understand, it's finished. See? Because our thought life goes to another place, we're trying to help what he's already done. We're trying to help it. Right? And then you come under a little pressure, you get around your leadership, you know, and you get to thinking about what you've done to help it. And surely leadership can see it and pat us on the back and say, well done. Right? And so we live under that kind of pressure, trying to please God and trying to be pleasing to somebody else. And that causes you to carry yourself in a certain way. That's not you. And not who God wants you to be. Huh? Feel like saying, like my grandmother used to say, you hear me, don't you? You know? Sometimes people come back and they want to go, huh? They want to make sure you heard them. That's when the amen is good in church. Amen? This is not the time to be still. This is the time to say amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, this train of thought is coming about because of what we've already learned about the moving of the Holy Spirit in the life of Paul as he's traveling, as he's being moved and inspired by the Holy Spirit to go from place to place and to give the Word of God to various individuals facing different and contrary situations and circumstances that are varied, and how that God is there for him in the midst of all of it. I mean, there is no way. You think of it. God has given us a demonstrative, open, varied look into the life of someone who is led by the Spirit of God. There is no way that this man can protect himself. Getting quiet again. There is absolutely no way he can protect himself. In our thoughts, we're like, well, I'm going to really pray in the Spirit, and I'm going to become more discerning. I'm going to read the thoughts of people, and therefore I'm going to know what they're going to want to do, what they want to say, and I'm going to be able to hide us out of there before they can ever raise a hand. Paul was so into God, so led of the Spirit, and even though he had discernment into certain things that he would go into, you know, but primarily, why did he have it? Because in the beginning, God said, you know, I'm going to show him the things that he must suffer for my name's sake. That's the reason that he knew it. He didn't know it because he was so gifted in the Spirit that he could discern it and see it before it happened. He just knew that God says, I'm going to put you in trouble. I'm going to take you into some troublesome, very tumultuous, radical, riotous situations, and you're going to preach my, that's where you're going to preach my gospel. Now, think about this. If he was going to have a thorn in the flesh, then he would have got it from God in the beginning when he said he's going to suffer many things for his name's sake. That would have been the thorn in the flesh. Why is everybody jumping on the bandwagon later and saying now he's got one from God? God said, I'm going to take you through trouble. You're going to suffer for me. Didn't he say that to that man, Ananias? He said, You tell him. You're going to suffer many things for my name. Say, that would have been the thorn for me. The thorn is the people, not the demon. Huh? All them people won't leave me alone. I'm trying to preach. You won't leave me alone. Trying to kill me. Some of them doing a good job of it. Man could not protect himself no matter how close he was to God, no matter how filled he was with the Spirit, no matter how great the revelations, because God said you're going to be subject to it. Now, we can learn something from that. See, don't think that you can protect yourself and get yourself in a safe place where nothing bad is ever going to happen to you. You know, now thank God you haven't suffered like you've seen some people suffer in the world. Thank God for that. Amen. Now, a lot of that has to do with our being led of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Right? And listening to Him. Many times, many of God's people find themselves in circumstances because they refuse to yield to the voice of the Holy Spirit when He says, don't go home that way. Right? Don't get in a rush. Settle down. Be patient. We don't like to hear stuff like that because we think it's us. And it's a little thing. It's not a big, you know, earth shaking, lightning striking kind of word from God. It's just a small, still voice, something very simple. I mean, what good can you be to minister to people if you can't follow the Lord and take a different turn to go home in your car? How are you going to minister to the people of God and know what they need? You can't even zip it up when you get angry, you know, and keep your mouth shut instead of saying what you want to say. How are you going to minister to the people of the Lord? You can't get over the disturbances that's happening on your job. Because you can't get over the fact that somebody don't like you. Did God put you there? What the heck does it matter that they like you or not? That's the way Christians cuss. Heck, what the heck? That's the only way we can cuss and get away with it. Until God says you better quit that. Then that'll be sin too then. You better quit it then, amen? That's right. So you got to listen there too. Right? So you see, now look again, now watch this. Your words create environment. Your words create environment. So if you don't like the environment that's on your job, that's in school, as you're going to school, or you don't like the environment that's in your home, how are you going to change it? By continually talking about, they don't like me. These people want to get rid of me. This is a good one right here. They won't receive a thing I got to say. Well, you're just perpetuating it the more you say it. And it'll continue to be that way because you keep saying it. Now, you want it to change? I heard about Matthew 18 and 19 where the Lord gave us the power to bind and to loose. We can bind up all of that non-receiving spirit that's running around here in this place. I bind that non-receiving spirit in the name of Jesus. And I command that non-receiving devil to get off these people. And I loose an anointing for them to hear what I have to say from God. What's wrong with that? But see, we get so accustomed to saying what we see. Calling it like, I like to call it like it is. I'll tell you one time I call it like it is. No, you need to call it like you want it to be. Right. Call it like you want it to be. Now, how much can you use that? Sky ain't even the limit. You can use that in any area of your life. You can cause yourself to be a better teacher, a better preacher, a better church worker. You can cause yourself to be a better wife, a better husband, you know, a better sister, better brother. All you got to do is call it the way you want it to be. You can literally change your spouse by calling your spouse what you want your spouse to be without saying it so they can hear it. Yes, right. All you got to do is call it in. Bite your tongue and under your breath, call him, her, what you want them to be. You know what you want them to be. You know what you want them to be. And all you got to do is call it. And God said, I'll grant it. You can decree a thing and I'll bring it to pass. Hallelujah.
That's right. No, I'm going to fuss at him. I'm going to aggravate that devil right out of him. I'm not going to call. I'm supposed to aggravate that man or that woman. Amen? And he's going to be like Solomon in the book of Proverbs. The woman is always after me like that. It's like the steady drip off of a house when it rains. Clunk, clunk, clunk. I can't even get no rest. You don't want to be like that. No, you don't want to be like that. Even the Apostle Paul said to a believing wife who had an unbelieving husband, he said, now, if you just leave him, you get a divorce from him, you know, what's going to be his chance of coming under conviction and being born again? And what's going to happen to your children? You got that? You see what he's saying? Your influence and the manner by which you carry yourself has to change. And that won't change unless you start saying. I mean, if you want to be a certain kind of wife that really makes a difference in a man's life, then you got to call yourself what you know the Bible says you're supposed to be. Call yourself that. You see what your husband needs. And you look in the mirror and you say, Lord, have mercy. But you know what he needs, right? And the needs of man are great. They're great. They're great. And a woman sees the needs of her husband, and in many times, she just turns her head and saying, You think I'm going to be that? You just got another thought coming to you. I'm serious. Now, you women, you might as well say amen, because you know it's true. But is that the Lord's will?
No.
See?
No.
The Lord's will is you recognize what your husband's needs are, and you say that over yourself, and you are that for him.
Amen.
Well, I just don't understand why a man has to be that needy. Why don't he grow up and be mature? If he's more spiritual, he wouldn't have all that need. What you got to do with that? You got a commandment of love the Father, the love of your husband. And to honor him and cherish him. You don't want to do it, but Scripture even says you just call him Lord. Now you got to understand that Lord in that context means that you're giving him a place of authority and honor. You're helping him to flow in his high priestly office as protector, his prophetic office as prophet. Right? You're giving him that freedom. Now, the scripture isn't all that clear about whether you call him Lord out loud as any more than it's saying that you call him Lord from the inside as a settled position in your thoughts. I'm not walking around my house saying, how come she ain't calling me Lord today? I'm not walking around with that kind of attitude. But I can sure tell when my wife has got all of that bubbly love going on down on the inside of her toward me and honoring me and cherishing me, I can tell. And I can tell when Sister Plumline sticks her head up too. Yeah? Right? You can sense that thing. And it's what they sense that make a difference. It's what people sense about you that makes a difference. And that's why your thought life has to be in the right place. If you're thinking, you would be surprised how much your thought life changes things before you even speak it out of your mouth. You would be so surprised. I can't tell you how many times I've dealt with my thoughts. See, this is a good way to practice that. Everybody has some dread. Everybody dreads something about something. Could be about the job. Could be about I got to deal with a certain person. Could be about a certain financial thing that I got to work on. There's some dread. Now, you have to change that. Because dread is doubt. Dread is doubt. Dread displaces what God would have said to you had you allowed him to speak to you. Didn't miss that, did you? Dread itself displaces what God would have said to you had you allowed him to speak to you. Have you noticed that a feeling comes with dread? An old feeling comes with it. Old dreadful feeling comes with it. That's a spirit. And it's a familiar one because we don't get rid of it. It's a familiar spirit. So familiar that we don't run it off like we should. We just accept it as kind of like a part of our, you know, thought process and, you know, and we allow it. But it's doing something. So what has to happen is I have to get what God would have me to think and displace that dread with that thought. Become willing in a situation where you're unwilling. Become willing through your thought where you're unwilling. A lot of times, that's what God will operate through to change a situation before you get there, before you engage with a person in a particular thing that the spirit of dread is trying to get on you about. The Spirit of God will go before you and work the thing out before you even engage in the situation because you think the right thought. I'm telling you, man, your thought life is powerful. Why else would God say, why else would the scripture say that as far as judgment goes, that God would even judge the intent of your heart? The intent is that place of thought. See, you can even sin in your thought life. Well, you knew that, but I'm talking about in things other than that. Other than that stuff that you normally go to that is a sin to you. I'm talking about in other areas that we just look over and let go and don't pay any attention to. We don't recognize how powerful though our thought life is. You know, let's look at it from this angle. you're going to go there. I'm going to talk about my own experience. When I have a word of knowledge, and I've had many of them by the Spirit, that word of knowledge comes into my thought. It isn't a verbal word from God where God says, that person I'm healing from, or that person I'm delivering from. That's not a verbal, audible voice that I hear. It is a spiritual thought. And if I have the liberty and the occasion in the spirit to you in a service to use it, all it will do is give that person the opportunity to get what God has already granted them. That's what it does. And that's why we have to use it. But now watch this. If I don't submit to the word of knowledge, what have I just done? That's right. I've cut off the flow of God to an individual that God wants to do something in their lives. And he's using the word of knowledge to create faith in a moment, like Paul looked at the man that was paralyzed and realized that he had faith to be healed. How did he know that? It was a thought that came from God. And he said, stand up on your feet. And if he hadn't said, stand up on your feet, that man would be sitting down. Well, not to this day, but he would have been sitting down in the rest of that service. He wouldn't have moved. He wouldn't have got his healing. See, God has to use us to release things. He has to use us. So pay attention to your thoughts. Don't just let them run through your head. And don't believe every thought. Now, it's easy to reject the thoughts of the devil. We expect what he's going to say. The thoughts that are hardest to put down that are not from God are your own thoughts. Your own thoughts are the hardest to put down and to check. Because you give license to yourself. Right? You do. You think that you have a right to that because that's your thought. You do. I have a right to that. God gave me a brain and I'm going to use it. Right? Well, don't shout me down. Now, see, y'all just getting too loud. I'm telling you, this service is getting out of hand. However, all that I heard was in your thought life and not out of your mouth. So we want to give license to our thoughts, which are connected to our feelings. And that's what gives it power against us right there. We give license to our thought life, which is connected to our feelings. That gives it power against us. See? And it's hard to disconnect that because we've been practicing doing it so long. You got to understand, you have practiced so hard at using that at your own volition the way you want to use it. And it's been definitive into who you are in some situations. And people read it and say, that's right. That's her. That's him. I thought that's who you're talking about. And they read that because you have given so much license to it. Now, when you change, they don't know what to think about you. You're like Paul again. You says, I'm like the Spirit, you know. You can't judge me. You don't know how to judge me. Now, that's the place where we're ascending to. We're ascending to the place where people cannot read us the way that they've read us in the past. Are we talking about growth this morning?
Yes,
we're getting to the place, we're ascending to that place where people cannot read us the same way.
Amen.
Now, when they try to read us, they're going to see something that is unrecognizable. And the reason it's unrecognizable is because it's Jesus.
Yeah.
Right? They're going to take knowledge of you like they did of the disciples. They took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Because they were unlearned, everyday common men. How could they know this? How could they say this? How could they do this? They took knowledge of them that they had spent time with Jesus. Now, think about this. Again, where does your mind go when I say that? Prayer closet. I'm going to pray more. I'm going to spend time with Jesus. See? Immediately, your mind goes to a place that you think is going to make you better. Praise the Lord. Somebody's getting sober. You came in here all intoxicated, but you're getting sober all of a sudden. You don't need no black coffee. All you need is the word of the Lord. Immediately, your mind will go to something that seems like it's been aggravating you that you need to do. You need to do this. You need to do that. I haven't done this enough. I haven't done that enough. Wait a minute now. Jesus has done everything for us in advance. So even if you catch up, you're still not going to be no more pleasing to God. Get a picture of it in your mind. Jesus did it all. My God. He's accomplished everything that we could ever strive to accomplish. He's finished everything that we could ever strive to finish. He's done it for us. See? Now, he did that on purpose. I'm glad he did it on purpose. See? I am. Praise the Lord. Does that mean I'm not going to strive to enter in or pursue holiness or no. Mean I'm going to lead a loose life because I'm covered? No. I'm covered, but I'm not going to do that. I'm still walking to please God in my life, seeking. But what I'm going to find out, because I'm ascending to this new place in my thought life, what I'm going to find out is that God's going to speak to me in a different way than what I'm accustomed to. See, just like in your Bible, you get in your Bible and you flip that Bible open, it falls to the same scriptures that you've been looking at for the last 16, 17 years. It just falls right there, plop, to them same scriptures, highlighted, underlined. Whole bunch of other stuff in there you and I highlighting and underlining that God can't even talk to you about because you're accustomed to going to these places. Amen. God starts speaking to you about some of that other stuff, you're going to be like, I ain't ever seen that in the Bible before. Where'd that scripture come from? All right? This is where we're going. See? Your thoughts can actually become God's thoughts. Yeah, they can become God's thoughts. Now, watch this now, because I just saw some minds go. Don't let your mind be so free to just take off before I finish. Man, y'all like supersonic jets. Y'all just turbo right into something else. Oh, Lord. Your thoughts becoming God thoughts. Now, watch this. Because immediately we start thinking about what we can do to get God's thoughts. Amen? Immediately. Come on, some of you, you men, your beard's starting to grow a little bit on this right here now. You're going to have to go home and shave again, you know? Oh, Jesus. All right. Your thoughts can become God's thoughts, right? His thoughts, right? Now watch this. Remember, God speaks to your spirit. His thoughts are already in you. That's important, because when you think in terms of what you can do, that means that God has got to send them to you now. That means God's got to begin to speak to you now. That means God's got to do something now to reveal something to you. No, man, your spirit man's already feeding on it. Your carnal, natural mind has just been creating gates. Remember, he said, the gates of hell shall not prevail against my church. You didn't think you had gates of hell in your mind. Oh, Lord. Oh, I feel like we're getting lift off. Come on. We're at Cape Canaveral, brother. We're getting lift off. Oh, Lord. Yeah. That's hard to accept. But we've been playing a part in creating gates against God's voice in our own minds. Why would he say, have the mind of Christ? Why would he say that? If it wasn't within your power to do it. God don't have to do that for you to have the mind of Christ. You have to do something to have the mind of Christ. I have to do something to have the mind of Christ. God has done everything in Christ already. There is nothing else that needs to be done. I mean, God did a complete, awesome work in what Jesus accomplished for us. We camp out on the big 3 or 4 or 5, healing, prosperity, and all that kind of stuff. We just camp out there like ain't nowhere else to go. Like there's nowhere else to go. We just camp out. And it's because we're so afraid of getting sick, don't want to get sick. Somebody in the family had Alzheimer's, so we're scared to death we're going to get Alzheimer's. Somebody in our family had cancer, so we're just praying against it and standing against it and giving in offerings against it and all this kind of stuff. We're just sowing not to go there. Honey, God delivered us from everything that everybody had in our families. I don't care what they had. Listen to me. Listen, what God has done is more powerful than your genes. I don't care if it is in your family's genes. It's not in yours. Your genes were born again. Life is in the blood. You had a spiritual blood transfusion. Now you got the life of Jesus' blood flowing in you. You know why Jesus doesn't have any blood in his body? Because it's all in the body of Christ. Spiritual. It's all in the body of Christ. We have it. See, it overpowered the natural and made it super. So you ain't got to be concerned about what somebody in your family had. My mama died with a heart attack. Am I afraid I'm going to die with one? I die daily. What should I be afraid of that for? I'm like the apostle. I die daily. I was dying some this morning before I could get out of the bed. Just thinking about some stuff. I was dying before I could get out of the bed. I got out of the bed, crawled over into the bathroom. Do you know what? And I'm dying in there while I'm sitting in there. Died some in the office this morning before I came out here to preach. What am I afraid of physical death for when I'm dying all the time anyhow? It's silly for us to think in those terms. We're trying to do something or to generate something because of something that we fear when we have everything already. See? And the only reason we do that is because we made it a religion. We made it our religion. Whew. I guess we better break, huh? Think about this. Go get some lunch. She just messed my lunch up, man. I can't eat now. No, you should be able to eat and be happy. Praise the Lord. Shoot, man, the carbohydrates can't stop me today. Now that made somebody happy right there. That right there just made your day. You feel better about the message now. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You can see yourself in the line at the buffet already. It's all right now. Praise the Lord. Well, this is, I mean, we didn't even get to the scripture. My Lord Jesus, help me. Acts chapter 19 and verse 11. And God did unusual and extraordinary miracles by the hands of Paul, so that handkerchiefs or towels or aprons which had touched his skin were carried away and put upon the sick, and their diseases left them, and evil spirits came out of them. Well, now, how did they come up with that when it had never been done before? How did they come up with that when that had never been done before? Who was the one that initiated it in the meeting that said, you know, let's do this? Somebody had a word of knowledge, or you might call that one a word of wisdom. Could have been a word of wisdom. It had to come by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. I mean, if you hadn't ever done it before. Right? In somebody's thought, God said, the anointing is going to be so heavy on him that it's going to penetrate his clothes, and I'm going to allow it to remain in his clothes. And if his clothes were placed on someone, evil spirits will go out of them, and evil, you know, sickness is evil, right? You know that, right? Evil diseases will go from them. Had to have a thought. It's not recorded that anybody prophesied it. Bless his heart or her heart, never got credit for it, not even in the Bible. But they were so probably, you know, in the thought life that they needed to be in, they weren't looking for credit. They were just thrilled that God revealed something that was going to be effectual in the lives of sick people and people that were troubled with demons. And they were just flowing in the spirit as kingdom people and exchanging things without saying, now that was my idea. That was my idea. Make sure you make note of that. I thought of that. I know that won't happen in this church because somebody broke my vacuum cleaner upstairs and they ain't even told me yet. And the person that did it right now is going, oh, Jesus. You know you're guilty, don't you? So that ain't going to happen in a church like this. Because folks just won't tell me things. You know, they scuff something or mark something or break something and they won't tell me. Y'all preaching to yourselves now, aren't you? Oh, Jesus. Well, let's move on. You know, I forgive you. Don't worry about that part. And really, you don't have to come to me and say anything about it. If you can find it, because I moved the vacuum cleaner. If you can find it, just fix it. All right. Somebody had the thought. They proceeded. Paul had to receive them because they even put aprons on him. That's awesome. They designed some type, they cut cloth in such a way that they could actually just kind of put it around him and place it on his body because they fully intended to take these things, cut it up in pieces like prayer cloths, and lay it on people. Man, that's awesome. I mean, you know, I know some people shake their head at that today and say them foolish Pentecostal people, see that speaking in tongues stuff is crazy. I would be doing all that kind of stuff. But let me tell you something. That was a thought of God. It was a thought of God. And somebody had it. You have the thoughts of God in your spirit, man. You have them now. See? And you see, faith comes by hearing. Faith comes by hearing. And remember we said in the last service, when you hear something, you take it. Take it. You take this revelation, this knowledge, and you realize there is a thought already from God in your spirit for whatever you're facing in your life that needs to change. It's not in somebody else. It's in you. Whatever your need is, whatever the problem, whatever needs to change in your body so you can get off of that horrible medicine, the thought is in your spirit. And all you got to do is say, speak to me, Lord, speak to me. I hear you. Start saying, I can hear my spirit. 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 I hear the thoughts of God in my spirit. And then when that thought comes alive in you, you act on it. That's the inspiration to act. You act on it. Do what that thought says. I don't care what the doctor says. You do what God says. You know, depending upon who your doctor is, they might just prophesy death to you. Now, you know you got to take this the rest of your life. You can't get off this medicine. Whose report are you going to believe? Amen. I wish I could tell you, you know, how quickly God moved for me in one of the things that I started confessing. It was not more than a week. You're probably surprised that I'm not telling you, because I usually tell you everything. You know? But it's just one of those things I'd rather not. I'm ascending to a new place too. Praise the Lord. But no more than a week, man, and it had changed. And it's been good ever since. God is so good. And I said, Lord have mercy. Look at the power of the spoken word. Look at the power of the spoken word. Man, he can change anything that you need changing. Because I asked him, I said, Lord, what should I say? What should I say? And he gave me the, and I said, okay, I'll say that. And I had to tell my wife the other day, the change was so swift and so profound and so good and so thorough. I even stopped saying what he told me to say. And I thought, I need to repent of that, because if I keep saying that, that's going to bleed over into other areas in my life. If it worked that fast for that one thing, guess what else he can accomplish, you know? So I said, I'm going to keep saying. She said, yeah, keep saying it. Praise the Lord. Amen. Because you don't just have one area in your life that you need to have the life of God, you know, demonstrated in and realized in. I mean, there's your thought life, your emotions, your soul. I mean, all of these areas needs God's attention. And his thought is in your spirit. He says, work out your own soul's salvation with fear and trembling before the Lord. Fear and trembling before the Lord means I'm paying attention to the Lord. But I'm to do it with fear and trembling means which means this, catch it. Now it's simple. I give great reverence to the voice of my spirit. I reverence that. Fear and trembling before the Lord. I reverence it. I give it its rightful place. I listen to it even when fear tries to come upon me. I step back and I say, I'm not listening to fear. What are you saying, Lord? I'm not going to be directed by fear. What are you saying, Lord? You understand what I'm saying? Because the Bible says, don't be afraid of sudden fear. Well, how are you not going to be afraid of it? You got to listen to something else. You got to turn your attention to something else. So if he said, don't be afraid of sudden fear, then there's a whole lot of other things you don't need to be afraid of that's sudden. And the only way you're not going to be afraid of it is to listen to your spirit, because your spirit will say, stand still and see the salvation of God. And you just stand right there. When in the natural, when that Rottweiler start running towards you and growling, you would run or scream. But your spirit man says, stand still. And you just stand still, and it walks up to you and it smells on you and it walks off. That's just one example. But I mean, you know, God will give you. I mean, God told Moses when he was afraid of the snake, pick it up. So he leaned into the word of God and did something he would have never done in all of his life. He wouldn't have picked no snake up, just like you and I wouldn't pick one up. Especially in a poisonous snake like that. There wasn't no brown snake. Come on, there was no green snake. That thing was, it scared him. Right? And so pick the snake up by the tail. Now, if God don't tell you to do that, don't be trying to mock Moses and just do that when you have that kind of thing come up. You listen to your spirit man, right? Do what God tells you to do. And God will tell you what to do in every kind of situation, right? We're accustomed to leaning into what we fear will fix it. Right? We lean into what we fear. You better do this. You better do that. You better do the other. And that's fear. But you listen to the Spirit of God, he might tell you just the opposite. He will tell you just the opposite. He's not going to tell you something that's based in fear. He'll give you something to do that later on people look at you and say, go, my God, I ain't never seen nobody do nothing like that. How in the world did you do that? By the grace and help of God. He spoke to me and told me what to do, and I did it. And it worked. See? And it worked. See, your thought life is key, brother. Your thought life is big in this thing. Your thought life will keep you from prophesying when God's giving you a word of prophecy. Yeah, your thought life, your flesh get all over you and just shut you down. When you need to get up and walk over to somebody and say, God just told me such and such. Your thought life will shut you down when you're supposed to give a certain amount of money. That's one of the big things in the body of Christ. Stingy spirits. Fearful, stingy spirits. Right? And it just shuts God's people down. Because it comes with the question, what about this? You need this for that. And God takes advantage of it, and he speaks to you when you've got the biggest need. Why would he do that?
It just ain't fair. God talked to me when I... He knows that I got this big need. He told me to...
He must be talking to you. I got a word for you. God said for you to give that money. Well, the reason why God speaks to you when you're facing something is because he wants to destroy that big devil. That's a stronghold. And if he can't get you to act on it right now, Goliath's going to go get his brothers and come back. And you'll never be able to get past it if he gets enough of his family on there with you. Because how can you enter into a strong house and bind the strong, plunge a man's house except you first bind the strong man? You got to do something. You have to act by what the Holy Spirit says to do right then. I heard Norval Hayes one time say this in one of his meetings. I was up in Gatlinburg, Tennessee. And he said he was walking up a stairway. I don't know if the elevator was down or if he was doing it for exercise. But he got to walking up that stairway and his knee just went out on him and the pain was just awful. And he knew in that moment that if he didn't rebuke that, he was going to have a problem. So right there in front of all those people on that stairway, he didn't slight it not the least bit. He reached down, got a hold of his knee, said, in the name of Jesus, I command you to go. And just walked on up those stairs and kept on going. And if he had not acted as the Holy Spirit prompted him to act, he would have dealt with that knee in pain for some time until he done something about it. You got to act promptly with the Holy Spirit. You have to act promptly. You got to obey him. See, now you're talking about spiritual growth. This is why a lot of God's people are not flowing in the gifts of the Spirit. You stop and you thinking, oh, now what if I'm wrong? So what if you are wrong? Y'all may prophesy that y'all may learn that you are wrong sometime. And once you get over being wrong, you're going to prophesy what's right. But you're not going to get there by doing it right every time. You're not going to get there that way. See, some of you stay with yourself too much. That's your problem. You stay with yourself and you talk to yourself and yourself ain't helping you at all. Not at all. You need to get away from yourself. Get with the Lord. Nothing wrong with using your imagination because you can see in your imagination what you're supposed to be doing for the Lord. Can't you do it? You need to go there and you need to meditate in that and stay there and let the Lord just take you in your imagination and just see yourself doing what God has called you to do. And God will even correct you in some of it. He'll even say, no, you don't do it like that, because you know you kind of want to take it too far. And he'll even correct you in it. Yeah, I'm serious, man. See, I got the liberty and the freedom to move in the things of God because I practice this stuff. I have no fear. Haven't you noticed that? When it comes down to ministering what the Lord wants me to minister, I have no fear. I step back and look at myself sometimes and say, my God, son, you were free, wasn't you? You just let yourself go, didn't you? I just lean over into the Lord and let him have his way. I'm not afraid of that. Yeah, I have to think about it later because I'm having so much fun. When you get it walking in the Spirit, buddy, it's fun. You get to flowing in the Holy Ghost. There ain't nothing more satisfying. There's no more freedom a person can have than to flow in the Holy Ghost. Because he has just come and he is just there with control and he's free to do what he wants to do, whatever, how he wants to do it. And see, the interesting thing about it is he's going to flow through your personality. He's going to do something like he can only do through you. He can't do it this way through anybody else. Look how much he's hampered. Look how much he's held back from doing great and mighty things because God's people are sitting around there thinking, what would they think of me if I do it that way? They're going to think of you what they're supposed to think of you. You're released. You're free to follow the Holy Spirit because he can't do it that way except through you. And that's why it's so wrong for us to be trying to mimic and do something the way somebody else is doing. God created you and gave you that personality because he wanted to use it. He wanted to use it. We're walking around acting like we drugged on something. Can't even be ourselves. Get addicted to that foolishness when we need to be addicted to the Holy Ghost. I like the book of Acts. Amen. I do. Well, let's get down here. I think I got about 5 or 7 more minutes, something like that. And God will give me as much as I need. Hallelujah. Verse 13. Then some of the traveling Jewish exorcists. Have you ever heard of such? Traveling Jewish exorcists. Lord Jesus. The only people that I knew exorcists was the Catholic folk. And they come in there with that big old cross. Y'all see that movie? Boy, that was something, wasn't it? Ooh, what was that girl's name? Huh? Emily Rose. And that Catholic man went in there. Boy, that girl had a demon. Or 2 or 3. I mean, the house shakes, the wind blows, the light goes out. All kinds of stuff goes on when that rascal raises up his head. This is shaking everywhere. And that priest, he got to have on a cross that weighs about 10 or 15 pounds. Exorcist. You know, he's trusting in the cross. Oh, it tickles me when people try to be spiritual like that, don't have a clue about what they're doing. Then some of the traveling Jewish exorcists. The other thing that's interesting about this is that among the Jewish people, they're well aware that people have demons. They got some devil. They know it. Whether they're flowing in the things of God or not, they know from their tradition in Jewishness and in, you know, the people that they know that some folk got some devil. Now it's easy for them to know that because they fought some people that had devils, like Goliath. And they knew that fallen angels had went into women, and that's why these men came about being so big and tall and so strong. Because they were the you know, prodigies of fallen angels that cohabited with women. And they understood how devils got into people. Right? And so these guys are running around. And they also undertook to call the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, I solemnly implore and charge you by the name Jesus, whom Paul preaches. And it says that there were 7 sons of a certain Jewish chief priest. Jewish chief priest had 7 sons that was exercising this. His name was, we call him Sceva. We're probably just destroying the poor man's name. Look at verse 15. Now, you can learn something from the devil. You can. I wouldn't let him be my chief teacher if I was you, but you can learn something from him. Watch this. But one evil spirit retorted, Jesus, I know. Jesus, I know. And Paul, I know about. But who are you? Huh? You see that? I'm going to read it to you from this other translation here. But when the evil spirit answered, it said to them, indeed, I know Jesus, and I am acquainted with Paul. Don't you get it? Don't you see what's happening here? Those demonic spirits had some experience with both of these individuals. Indeed, I know Jesus. Oh, yeah. And I'm acquainted with Paul. You see what I'm saying? You see what Scripture's saying? These men, Jesus and Paul, exercised themselves in the Spirit of God when God was leading them to. And it affected these very demons. The same demons. Oh, Lord. But yourselves, who are you? They're recognizing that you don't have what Jesus has. You are not operating in what Paul operated in. So you can't do nothing with me. Who are you? He probably said to the mother demon, said, y'all want to have some fun? Y'all want to have some fun? We're going to have some fun now. Yeah. Which one you want? You just take your pick. And they jumped on him. And the man in whom the evil spirit, leaping upon them was strong, overpowering all of them, so that as they were wounded and nearly naked, they were stripping the clothes off the men. They weren't taking their own clothes off. Could you imagine seeing that if you had been there? You can't see the demon. All you see is seven brothers. And they're having the devil whooped out of them. And their clothes is being torn off. And you look at them like, it's the invisible man. Tearing their clothes off. And whooping them. Now, in most black churches, it'd been turned out right there. All the black people would have been out of the church. please don't get upset with me when I say that. I am a black man. I promise I am. For those of you that are listening by the internet, I really am. Don't get upset. I just say that, you know, jokingly, because I know black folk. And they don't like this kind of stuff, and they will get out of the church. Except they've ascended to another place, such as we are, where we're not afraid. And we know who we are in Christ. And we know the authority and the power that has been granted us over all the power of the enemy. And know nothing evil shall harm us. Understand what I'm saying? Right? So they had to flee from that house. Those men had to flee. They had to get out of there. And that poor man in whom the evil spirit was stayed bound. He stayed bound. Because they couldn't do anything. You say, well, Pastor, I sure would love to be able to operate in the spirit like Paul and like Jesus. It's going to happen through your thought life. You got to be willing to think yourself there. And you got to be willing to displace those other thoughts. And God will give you. See, one of the reasons why a lot of believers don't want to go there is because they envision themselves doing something like they saw somebody else do it. Yeah. And you don't cast out devils like everybody else. There's a gentleman that comes on a satellite broadcast. His whole ministry is casting out devils, and some of you have seen it. His whole ministry is about casting out spirits. And he talks to the spirits, and he'll inflict pain on them by the angel of the Lord if they try to resist it. Have y'all ever seen this ministry? Y'all don't stay up late at night like I do then, I guess. Because all this stuff comes on after midnight. I could call his name, but, you know, I don't know. But that's okay. You know, the way the Lord uses me, this is the way I am now. I'm not talking anything against that man's ministry. I believe he's legit. You know, if he's not, it'll come out. But the way that he goes about casting out spirits and doing it, I wouldn't go to all that much trouble. I don't see, I've never gone to that much trouble where I talk to a devil and say, what's your name? I never told one to do a particular thing. It's always been, come out! And it's over. Now, the Lord taught me that. That's just me. I have nothing against another person doing what they do. And if that's the way God leads them, then that's fine. He's got a reason for that. And will he ever use me that way? He might. That's right. He might. You know? I don't know. I just have to trust the Lord. But from my experience, he's shown me what I need to do, and I do it, and it's over. That's my experience. How did he get me there? I heard him in my thought, out of my spirit. I did what he told me to do. And he did what was necessary to get the person free. Now, let me tell you, these things are important, and that's why we're going through this, is because in much of the church today, you're not going to get this time of instruction. We're getting away from it. God's people are trying to give a user-friendly message to the church. And I ain't got no user-friendly message for no devil. You know? I don't have a user-friendly message for him. Now, understand now, this is all a part of the Spirit-led life. This is a part of the Spirit-led life. And we came into this thing realizing that we need to get the message and the promise, right? And once you get the message, that revelation and the promise, then you get inspiration in the Spirit. And then you act on through inspiration in the Spirit on what you have come to hear. You act on that. That's why the inspiration is there. And when you act on that, then God gets his way in that situation. God gets his way. God can only get his way in the earth except he gets it through us. That's the only way he can get his way. He cannot come down here and just knock things over and say, I'm tired of this, and I'm just going to do this, and I'm tired of this mess, and it's over. Here, I want this done. He has to use his people. So it's imperative that we get a hold of this and begin to let God have his way in our thoughts so that he can have his way and do what he wants to do in the earth. Amen? Let's all stand to our feet as we close. Lord, we want to thank you today for helping us to perceive, to understand, to get this in our hearts and minds so that you can have a process in us by which you can bring about in the earth realm what you want to do. We are members in your kingdom of God city here on this planet. And your desire is that we bring heaven to earth. We're ambassadors for Christ. Therefore, we are positioning ourselves in that manner. And we give you praise for it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Can you say amen?